Now we're going to turn to a very familiar portion of God's Word tonight. It's going to bring us away back to our Sunday school days. And it's a wee portion of God's Word that is so familiar. And it's found in Luke's Gospel, please, chapter 19. The Gospel of Luke, please, chapter 19. And when you come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, we're going to commence reading from verse number 1. Now, take your time and find the place, and if you don't have a Bible with you tonight, will you listen very carefully as I read, or if somebody sitting next beside you there who has a copy of God's Word, maybe they'll be kind enough to share it with you. They're very generous people here in Belize. All right, everybody's found the place. We're all going to read together. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and we're going to read from verse number 1. And as Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little in stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And we know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious truth. As you and I journey through life, surely we'll come across some very important people. And way back in March of 1994, I came in contact with Her Majesty the Queen, and she had the pleasure of meeting me. It was way back in 1994 when my father was receiving the MBE reward for his services to the RUC. But I remember that day when we were going to Buckingham Palace, we got out of the taxi. Oh, you talking about feeling important? Oh, it was powerful. Getting outside and with all the nationalities standing outside the gates, and there me and me dad and me mum were able to walk through them and walk across the big forecourt there at Buckingham Palace. Now I'm a wee bit of a fool. I like to fool about. And I remember saying to me mother, I says, Mummy, did you ever imagine? My mum's a real royalist. Oh, don't you say anything about the royal family. And she never imagined that she'd be at Buckingham Palace. And I says, Mummy, did you ever think we're walking across the forecourt here now and everybody was snapping cameras and all? Did you ever think we would be here, Mummy? No, she says, never. I says, well, why don't you just for a few moments think that you're the Queen? And I says, Daddy, you just imagine you're Prince Philip and I'm Prince Charles. And she says, well, you give over, you'll have us through out before we get in. But you know, friends, you'll meet many important people in life. But tonight, the most important person you'll ever meet in life is none other than the Lord Jesus. And I tell you why, friend, there's none more so important than the Lord Jesus. Do you want to know why? I'll tell you why. Nobody can forgive sin, only him. Nobody can forgive sin, only him. Nobody can save your soul. Only Him. Nobody. You know, there's people in the north of Ireland tonight believe that the church can get them to heaven. There's people in the north of Ireland believe tonight that their minister or their priest can forgive sin. Listen, friend, your church can't take you to heaven. Only Jesus can take you to heaven. No minister, no priest, no pastor, no parson can forgive sin. Only Jesus can forgive sin. Only Jesus, only Him can satisfy the longing heart. I can stand in this pulpit in Valley Baptist Church tonight and say, none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and there's life and there's everlasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee. You know what I believe tonight? I believe with all my heart tonight that Jesus Himself is passing by this way. And it's possible tonight, dear friend, that Jesus Christ is passing by your way. You say to me, George, how do I know Jesus is passing by my way? Well, I'll tell you how I know and how you'll know. Because it's so possible that you're thinking about things that you never thought in your life before. Things have happened in your life before this mission even has started. And the Lord Jesus is passing. I had a mission this last May for our own church, a tent mission. And before that mission started, 2 weeks before that mission started, there was a man who lives outside Kilkeel, and he was getting ready for work one morning. Getting ready for work. And he opened the drawer and he happened to see the Bible that the clergyman gave him on the day of his wedding day. And he did something that morning that he never done in his life since the day he got married. Do you know what he did? He took out that Bible and he looked at it. And he began to flick through it. And you know what he did? He didn't put it back in the drawer. He put it on the mantelpiece and says, I'm going to take another look at that when I come home from work tonight. During that day, friends, during that day, something awful happened. Now, here's a man that didn't go to church. Here's a man that had no time for God. Here's a man who never even considered his own soul. But this man went to work this day and he was driving through Warren Point. And something awful happened. Through no fault of his own, The trailer came off the vehicle that he was driving and went down the road past him and it hit a man on a wall and it killed the man. The man never stood a chance. He saw the trailer heading for the man and there was nothing he could do. And that man's life was shattered because of what happened. As I have said in May, the later half of May last year, we conducted a gospel mission, a tent mission. And lo and behold, this man was invited to come to the mission. And I preached that night on the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And I said to the congregation that night, sometimes God has to do terrible things to get our attention. And sometimes God has to speak to us before even a preacher starts speaking. Now, I never knew this man. I never met him from Adam But I knew there was a man left the meeting that night in floods of tears. Now, we were having a wee cup of tea in the porta cabin that night, a wee cup of tea after the meeting. There was myself, Liz Bell, Gordon Bell, who will be here next week, and William John the Elder, and the four of us were having a wee cup of tea and a wee chat about the meeting. And about half an hour later, there came a knock on the door of the porta cabin. And Gordon Bell opened the door and he says, this man said, is George still here? Is he still here? I went to the door. And it was another man called David Campbell. David says, George, are you free? Yeah, he says, of course I'm free. Why? He says, Albert wants to speak to you. He couldn't go home. Say, what do you mean he couldn't go home? He says, God spoke to him tonight. Couldn't go home. Now he went out to the pickup truck where Albert was. And Albert just broke down in a flood of tears. He says, you know, God has been dealing with me. And he told me the whole story about how the first thing happened. He took the Bible out. Something he never done in years. Took the Bible out and started to look at it. And he set it on his mantelpiece that night. He says, something I never done before. And he shared with me what happened that day. Now, I don't force anybody into making any decisions, but I can tell you I had no problem encouraging this man to get saved this night. And sitting in that pickup truck, I led Albert to the Lord, and today he's rejoicing in the Lord. Now listen, maybe if nothing has happened as traumatic as you, but listen, maybe in recent weeks you've started to think things you've never thought about before. Maybe you've started to think about death. You started to think about God. You started to think about eternity. Where am I going to be when I die? Listen, friends, these things happen to you when Jesus is passing by your way. You're starting to think things, and you think things long before, and you begin to feel things even long before a mission starts. And here tonight in this very portion of Scripture, here we have the Lord Jesus passing one man's way. And we all know the man, and his name is Zacchaeus. And there's things about Zacchaeus tonight God wants you to see. You know the first thing you'll notice about Zacchaeus tonight? The first thing you'll notice about Zacchaeus, that first of all, he was a seeking man. A seeking man. Now, who was he seeking, George? Who do you think he was seeking? He was seeking to see Jesus. Verse number 3 tells you, and he sought to see Jesus. Now, why did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Do you know why? Because I believe Zacchaeus heard things about Jesus. That really gave him a desire. Do you know, I believe there was a desire in his heart that made him seek Jesus. Listen to me. You could be in this meeting tonight and I don't know, nor the person sitting next to you doesn't know, but listen, God knows, and that's all he needs to know. And God has put a desire in your heart to be here tonight. Now listen, you may have never sat in Belize Baptist Church before, but don't you think for one moment you're here by accident. God has brought you here. God has planned that you're here. You're not here by accident, sir. You're not here by accident, love. You're sitting in Believe Baptist Church tonight because God has planned it and God has purposed that you're here. And I'm sure that Zacchaeus heard that the Lord Jesus was passing by his way, and here's the man that raised the dead. I want to see him. Here's the man that heals the sick. Boys, I want to see him. Here's the man that can do miracles. Boys, I want to see him. Surely to goodness, you want to see a man that can raise the dead. Surely you want to see a man tonight who can heal the sick. Surely you want to see a man tonight who died on a cross and rose again. Surely you want to see a man tonight who can save your soul from going to hell. And surely you want to see a man that can change your life. Glory to God, there's nobody can change the life like the Lord Jesus. Nobody. And here we have a seeking man tonight. Zacchaeus knew who he was. Zacchaeus knew what he could do. And by hook and by crook, Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was. There was the desire in the seeking man. But the second thought I want you to see about the seeking man tonight, there wasn't just his desire, there was his difficulty. And this is the point I want to get out tonight. There was his difficulty. You know what his difficulty was? He couldn't see Jesus. He couldn't see him. Even though he wanted to see him, he couldn't see him. He couldn't see him because of the press. Now, who were the press? The press were those who were following Christ. The press were those who were with Christ. And the press was the reason why he couldn't see Christ. Now I'm going to take a wee moment to you people tonight who profess to be Christians. I hope tonight in this meeting, there is no professing Christian who is hindering some unsaved soul from seeing Jesus. I hope there's no professing Christian up in that gallery there who's stopping people from getting saved. And I hope there's no professing Christian in this row that's preventing people from coming to Christ. And I hope there's nobody in the middle row or this row who professes the name of Christ and instead of helping sinners to Christ, you're hindering them. The greatest hindrance that's stopping people from getting saved today is professing Christians. Now that's an awful sad thing to say, a minister of the gospel tonight, but it's true. You know, when I worked in Derek Loans, there in Auchnacloy, there was a young lad worked there and I spent all me days trying to talk to him and trying to win him for Christ. And he would have listened. He wouldn't have shunned you. He would have listened to you. But there came in this car, a white Honda. And it belonged to a man who professed to be a Christian. And in the back window of the car was his wife's hat. It was as big as a cartwheel. And on the dashboard, there was his Bible as big as a suitcase. Leather-bound Bible. And he brought this car in to be serviced, and we put her up on the jack, and we were starting to work away at her. And I was working in the parts department, and this wee lad came in running to me, and he says, "Come here, do you see this?" And I went into the garage and I wondered what he was trying to show me. And he got the hand lamp and he looked up into the engine. "Do you see that?" he says. "Do you see this?" I says, "See what?" He says, "That's some Christian." I says, "What do you mean that's some?" And then I could see it. Speedometer cable screwed off. And the wee fella that I tried to win for Christ says, "These boys are professing to be Christians, driving about with a speedometer cable off." Says, "I'll tell you what you do, Keith. You screw on that speedometer cable and I'll charge him for screwing it on. Oh, I don't miss a pound." Derek Lone thought I was a great fella. And the next thing he came in, he says, "The car serviced yours." I says, "It is serviced." And I started to do his billet. I says, "Jim, There's an extra £5 of charge there for screwing on the speedometer. But it is! I says, I charge you £5 extra there for screwing on the speedometer cable again. He says, what'd you do that for? I says, hey, Jimmy, did you screw that speedometer cable off? He did. He says, I did. He says, you know why I do a terrible mess? And he says, I need to keep the miles down or I lose value in the car. So say, Jimmy, that's what you call them. So say, Jimmy, do you know something now? You're keeping more than your miles down, sir. You're keeping your testimony down. So say, you see that wee blondie boy out there who serviced your car? He says, you know, I've been witnessing that wee fella and I've been trying to win him for the Lord. And he says, whatever you've done, because of what you've done, you've sent him back further than what I could get him started at. Wait till I tell you something, love. You Christian ladies, you listen. There's more than shining your light with more so than wearing a big hat, love. And listen, brother, listen to me. You can walk about with your Bible as big as a suitcase, but if you're not living the light, then don't name Christ. There's nothing has hindered sinners from coming to Christ than hypocrites. It was the people that were with Christ prevented Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. And maybe that's not why you're saved, sir. Maybe that's why you're not saved, love. Because some dirty, filthy hypocrite has been standing in your light for years. Now, friend, listen, Christians. You sit up tonight and listen. Because this is the problem today. Man, we can sing and we can pray like the Lord on a Sunday and live like the devil the rest of the week. Is that why you're not saved, sir? Listen, I sympathize with you tonight if you've been hurt by some hypocrite. And I'm not one bit afraid to call them hypocrites. But listen. Do you see when the day you stand before God, you won't be giving an account of those people, but you'll be giving an account of what you did with God's Son. I want you to do me a favor tonight, and I want you to do yourself a favor tonight. I want you to take your eyes off these people tonight, these people who call themselves Christians, but they don't live like Christians. I want you to take a good look at the Lord Jesus. Now listen to me, listen to me. If you search any man tonight, including Pastor Kennedy and myself, you'll find false. There's false with me more maybe than anybody else. But you tell me where you can find a fault with Christ tonight. You'll find a hole in any man's coat tonight, but you'll never find a flaw with my lovely Savior. But you know what you read about the seeking man, not only his desire and difficulty, his determination, he wasn't going to let these people stop him. Now listen, unsaved man, unsaved woman, don't you let anybody stop you from getting saved tonight. Don't you let any man or woman stop you from coming to Christ tonight. Because I can tell you, poor Zacchaeus, he had a determination. It says there in verse 4, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. I'm telling you, nobody was going to stop this man. Don't you let anybody stop you tonight. This man knew Jesus was to pass by his way. Don't you let anybody stop you tonight from coming to Christ as he passed by your way. And Zacchaeus, he climbed up into a sycamore tree because he was determined to see Jesus as he passes by, no matter who tried to stop him. I want you to notice secondly about Zacchaeus tonight. The seeking man suddenly became the sought man. Little did Zacchaeus know that when he was seeking Jesus, that Jesus was seeking him. And I want you to notice something about the Lord Jesus tonight. He sought him in three different ways. Do you know how he sought him? He sought him first personally. He called to him personally, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus didn't call the whole crowd. He called one man, Zacchaeus. Wonder tonight. Over the past week that we've been here, Christ has been calling you. Aye, and you've heard it. Man, you've felt the tugging within your heart. Definitely I'm getting called. Definitely God's speaking to me. Do you know that's what happens? God could be speaking to you tonight. God could be speaking to you, sir, tonight. God could be speaking to you. Look, he mightn't be speaking to the person beside you, but he's speaking to you. And you know it. And you'll know when the Lord's speaking to you. He sought him personally, didn't he? Didn't he call Saul of Tarsus personally? As Saul was going down the Damascus road, breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the very Christians, Jesus called him personally. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He's calling you personally tonight. And has been. And has been. He sought him personally. Ah, but listen. He sought him urgently. What did he say? Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He didn't say to Zacchaeus, come down whenever it suits you. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, come down whenever you like. He says, make haste and come down. Sinner friend, the call of the gospel is to make haste. Make haste and come down. Make haste and get saved tonight. Jesus is passing by your way. The moment is now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Make haste because death is on its way. Make haste because the Lord is coming soon. Make haste because this could be your last chance. Make haste, unsaved then. Make haste. Make haste. And he called him, he not only sought him personally, and not only did he seek him urgently, he sought him intensely. He says, I must abide in thy house. He said to your heart as he passes by your way tonight, make haste and come down. Come down from that sycamore tree of pride. Come down from that sycamore tree of good works. Come down from that sycamore tree of unbelief. Come down from that sycamore tree of religious rituals. I must save you. I must abide in your heart tonight. And friend, you need to get out of the sycamore tree tonight. The sycamore tree of pride that tells you, sure, I don't need saved. Boys, if I had a pound for every time I had that, I'd be a millionaire. Sure, I don't need to be saved. That's only how you prayed. Whatever sycamore tree you're in, the Lord Jesus is looking straight into your heart and he's looking straight into your soul and he's calling you tonight and he's seeking you tonight and he's speaking to you tonight and he's calling you tonight, make haste and come down for I must abide at thy house tonight. Friend, if you want a home in heaven, you'll have to come down and receive him. If you want a friend tonight, never to see the flames of hell, you'll have to come down tonight. If you want your life to change, you'll have to come down tonight. And in spite of Christians who have failed you, and in spite of Christians who have hurt you, you'll have to come down and put them out of your mind and come to Christ who alone can save. And the seeking man became the sought man. Listen, you're a sought man in this meeting tonight, whoever you are, and you're a sought woman too, and you know it. And you know it. And you feel it. You feel it. But the sought man became the saved man. Aye, the saved man. What do you read? In verse number 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. It was at that moment. It was at that second. It was at that spot where Zacchaeus received him. He was saved. And friend, tonight in Believe Baptist Church, sitting in this meeting, unconverted, unsaved, unprepared, tonight you can be saved the very same way before you leave this building. Know what the Lord Jesus said? For as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. You know, a lot of people tonight, you know what a lot of people say? I would love to be saved, but I couldn't keep it. I would love to be saved, but I couldn't go through with it. Listen, you're dead, right? You're dead, right? But listen, the Lord doesn't only do the saving, the Lord does the keeping. And Peter says, from the moment you get saved to the day you go into the presence of the Lord, we're being kept by the power of God. Do you know why tonight I'm still saved after 33 years? Because I'm being kept by the power of God. I'm not being kept by religion. I'm not being kept by the flesh. I'm not even keeping myself. It's the Lord's keeping me. And I'll tell you another wee thing. He was a satisfied man, for he received the Lord joyfully. The night I got saved, in the Church of Ireland Church in Auchnacloy in the middle of the town. And Brother Kennedy was saved in the Gospel Hall. I was saved in the Church of Ireland. And I'll tell you, God can save anywhere. I can save anywhere. He can save anywhere. And I'll tell you that night, if you know Auchnacloy, it's built on a hill. And we lived down at the bottom of the hill. And you know, that night when I got saved, I don't know whether I walked home, ran home, floated home, or flew home. I'm telling you the joy that Jesus brings, friends. And listen tonight, I'm telling you the joy that flooded my soul that night, and the joy that floods my soul this night, couldn't be, friend, any fuller. Oh, I thought joy could only come from a pint glass. I thought you could only enjoy life when you were airlocked. Glory to God tonight, nobody can give joy like the Lord Jesus. Do you know what you'll never find Zacchaeus saying? You'll never find Zacchaeus saying, oh my goodness, what did I do that for? He didn't receive the Lord Jesus regrettably. He received him joyfully. I look back to my own saved years. Friend, I thought I had life. I thought I had joy. But at 20 years of age and 8 days, 20 years of age and 8 days, 8 days after my 20th birthday, I came to Jesus as I was. As I was. Weary, worn, and sad. Boys, I was pathetic. But I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Oh, friend, there's nobody like him to me. Nobody like him. And I want you to notice something else about Zacchaeus. He was the shining man. Do you know why he was the shining man? If you look at verse number 8, it says, Lord, behold, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. What shines? The new nature. What shines? The new life. What shines? The new change. Listen, listen. Tonight, are you listening? If there's no change, there's something strange. Christ Jesus changes the life. He changes my life. He changed my life. And he changes the life of those who come to him in repentance of sin. He changes lives. He changed my life. He can change your life tonight. You only think you've got life. And the Lord Jesus, that night on the 26th of August, 1985, he just didn't give me a new start to life. He gave me a new life to start. Life with a capital L. The Lord Jesus didn't give me religion. The Lord Jesus gave me life. The Lord Jesus didn't tell me that I hope to see in heaven. The Lord Jesus says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said to me? I give unto you eternal life and you'll never perish. I'm not friend. I'm not dependent on a hope so. I'm dependent right on a know so. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven because of what the Lord Jesus did for me on Calvary's cross. He took my sins and my sorrows and he made them his very own, and he took that burden to Calvary and he suffered and died alone. Listen, I'm never done saying this because we need to be saying it today. Listen, God is not a religion. God is a reality. Man has turned God into religion. Jesus Christ is not. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a religion tonight. He's a reality tonight. He's a reality. But here's something I'm going to finish with. Do you see this day? When the Lord Jesus was passing by Zacchaeus, he was passing that way for the very last time. He was never to pass that way again. He was on his way to the cross. And do you see if Zacchaeus that day had the Lord Jesus go on, never would have been saved. Never would have been saved. Many years ago, there was a gospel mission in Drumbo Presbyterian Church outside Lisburn. The evangelist was none other than the Reverend Sam Workman. The girls' brigade was running the mission. It was them that held the mission, and they got Mr. Workman to conduct the mission. And the Reverend Smith was the minister of Drumbo at that time. One of the girls out of the girls' brigade pleaded with her daddy to come to the mission, and he went to the mission. That night, during the singing of the opening hymn, Sam Workman felt the urge of God. And he felt as if the Holy Spirit was telling him to change the message, and he did. And he preached that night from the text that you'll find in Amos chapter 4, verse number 12. Prepare to meet thy God. The wee girl was so pleased that her daddy was at the mission. And as he closed the service that night, Sam Workman leaned over the re-reading desk in Drumbo Presbyterian Church, and this is what he said. He says, never in my years of gospel preaching tonight do have I ever felt that God is speaking to a man or a woman in the service tonight. He says, I don't know who you are, he says, but you know God's speaking to you, and God knows himself that he's speaking to you. Closing hymn was sung. People started to leave. The wee girl's father shook hands with Mr. Workman. And he said to Mr. Smith, the minister, he says, Mr. Smith, that wee man would make you think. That wee man has troubled me. And Mr. Smith says, would you not like to talk to Mr. Workman? For he'd love to talk to you. No, I'm not talking to him tonight. I tell you, I ain't coming back tomorrow night. And that man was as serious as anything. And he came home that night. And then the next day, the wee girl says, "Daddy, it's 6 o'clock. You know the way wee girls like to have you ready for dinner time." She says, "Daddy, it's 6 o'clock. And now you need to go up and get ready and go to the mission. Now you told the minister you'll be coming to the mission." "I know it did. I'll not be going the night, love, but I'll tell you, I'll go tomorrow night." But Daddy, you told the minister, you told Mr. Smith, now you'll be out tonight. And Daddy, it's not right. That's not right. I know, but I just don't feel like it tonight, love. You go on ahead, and I promise you, I'll be out tomorrow night." The wee girl went to the mission, disappointed. The mission service continued. It went on just like the way we're having tonight. The mission came to a close. And the wee girl raced home to tell Daddy what Uncle Sammy was preaching about. And she ran into the home, friends, and called out for her daddy, but there was no answer. She went into the kitchen, and there he was, lying dead, friends. Do you know what age her daddy was? He was just 55. That man of 55 had every intention of going back the next night. But he missed his chance because his last chance was the previous night. I say, sir, this could be your last chance tonight. I say, love, let's all sit up straight tonight and listen. This could be your last chance tonight. You might have every intention of coming tomorrow night, but tomorrow night you may never see. Zacchaeus teaches me a lesson. Do you know what Zacchaeus teaches me tonight? Never let your moment of opportunity pass you by. Is there somebody here tonight that the Lord Jesus has been calling and he's been speaking to you in recent days? You have never felt like as you feel tonight. You have never felt like this before. You're that close in getting saved tonight. You can almost hear the rustling of his garments as he's passing you by tonight. Friend, the Lord Jesus, it's not me tonight. It's the Lord Jesus is saying to you tonight, make haste. And come tonight. It is time. It is time. To seek the Lord. Is there a heart that is waiting? Longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming. Jesus is passing this way.